B-Pod Studios.
Now,
that's hard on the ears.
More Tusher and Rich.
Ooh, that gets your back hair going.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oof, I don't care for that at all.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub, no!
It's the Bengals.
Did that count?
Yep.
With Joey Bag of Money.
And the Onion.
Okay. Get help today.
And Fist of Cash in the Chest.
All right, this is not the appropriate opening for this, but I have to mention this, Rich. If you go to our mentions on Twitter, you know, we're liberal banny ways and everything like that. just like during COVID when everyone said I was some right-wing nut. But I want to read you this. And if AR-15s aren't automatic weapons in there, so I just want to know why all these school shootings, the guys all have AR-15s. But I want to read you this particular thing.
Okay.
And you can get into this man's fantasy lane. You can go to our mentions to see it. Ultra Omicron Schwarzenegger is the guy who said this. he says because...
That's my least favorite Transformer.
Yeah. He said because... he believes he's a Transformer. Man. Because as the drug war has taught us, making things illegal makes things magically disappear. Sarcasm. Okay, well then, let's try it. And if it doesn't work, bad on me. If you want Mexican drug cartels to run into drug and AR-15 running cartels, go ahead, make them illegal. Can you imagine this guy thinking him having an AR-15 is stopping the Mexican drug cartels from wreaking havoc in the country? As if like this, like if you take AR-15s away from people, then the Mexican drug cartels are going to become a real problem here. Like the only thing keeping them out of the country is this a-hole having an AR-15. Well, they're not automatic. You don't know what you're talking about. You're liberal pennyways. Fine. Commonality is that all these school shootings have AR-15s. You know, make them illegal. And if I'm wrong, then shame on me. You know, if people continue to use a different gun in school shootings, then my bad. But let's try it.
Yeah,
give it a shot.
Maybe not a gun that you can fire up to 100 times before stopping to reload. You know, yeah, like an AR-15. But you got to pull the trigger each time. But, yeah. Well, all right. Well, 100 times they can do that before they reload.
And a fact is that these school shootings are mostly all with AR-15s. So if I'm wrong, and this liberal panty waste who doesn't understand what they're talking about, then let's try. And then if I'm wrong, and if the Mexican drug cartels make let's try it. And when the Mexican drug cartels take over Massachusetts and Ultra Megatron Schwarzenegger's life, Then I'll go, my bad. You were right. I lie before you, a man haunted by my bad decisions and my ignorance on assault weapons. Or they're not assault weapons, apparently. I don't know the semantics of it. All I know is that the AR-15s are used all the time. And I understand it's a cool hobby that's keeping all the bad guys at bay that you have one. But let's experiment. We've done it a lot, and I understand drugs are everywhere. So let's make drugs legal, and then make AR-15s illegal. And then if the world collapses on itself, you win. You win the Twitter debate. All right. Well, listen, it's not all time for, you know, our stupid liberal shenanigans. There is a time where you have to be the bankroll boys, and you have to talk to Dan Lifshitz and Joe Murray. And let me tell you, the bankroll boys are brought to you by DraftKings. DraftKings has a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs each week. Download DraftKings now. Use code SportsHub during sign up and start feeling the sweat like never before. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Hello, gentlemen.
Hey, Fred.
Did you make money yesterday?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
What was your bet?
Just in general, we talk about it all the time, but when a line opens, sometimes it tells you which side to maybe go with, and then the officials. Mm-hmm. So what I got yesterday was home underdogs of 0 to 4 points struggle in general, mm-hmm. and they struggled with the officiating crew yesterday. Now, there was someone in that crew that the Celtics have had no success with, 0-2 in the playoffs. But overall, I saw the Celtics open up as a favorite, and I hammered it early on, and then went from 2 to 3 based off maybe some pregame shenanigans.
Okay, so none of those pregame shenanigans ended up being true, though, like as far as like the COVID stuff. Like that was all, you know, kind of fun. Hey. We had a good time with it. Right? Hey. But none of that ended up being
true. Jay's phone did not work out for
right.
us.
So there was a lot of so check. Was there other shenanigans?
I think something was there. I don't know if it was that, but they didn't have a shoot around it.
I mean, they
there was a COVID outbreak. It wasn't with the players, but it was with the backroom office, the officials, whatever. So they were obviously taking precautions, and they didn't have a shoot around, which I guess Keith Smith said was pretty normal. But I went through yesterday, and I didn't find a single day they didn't have a shoot around. So I don't know if it was that normal, but it's possible. It's possible that I'm wrong. I didn't look at the first round or whatever versus Chicago. Look, if you're a Celtics fan, yesterday was great. I thought that, that was the game where, you've dropped that game throughout the playoffs. And, in certain situations in prior years, you've dropped that big, big win on the road. And last night's second half is a championship half from a team that looks like they're championship ready to face another very good team in Golden State. But yeah, look, that was an amazing half of basketball. Well, second half.
One of our listeners posed a funny question, and it's that who right now is the Eastern Conference Finals MVP? And it's, obviously people are just going to lean towards Tatum, but everybody on this team, the bigger stars, is it on games and off games?
Like yesterday, for example, they don't win without Al Horford and Derek White.
Well, so Al Horford has been steady, and mm-hmm. Derek White, obviously, when he has been called upon, he's been excellent. Overachieving in every way, but. Is there any kind of odds right now?
Oh, there's momentum.
So,
all right.
So Jay, and I just showed Dan this while Fred was opening up. Tatum's minus 215, and I don't think he's been the best player in the playoffs, personally. I do think Jaylen Brown has been the most consistent player.
Consistently awful turning over the ball.
I was just going to say wildly up and down.
No, I'm going to tell you. I think one thing with Brown real quick, he's definitely elevated. He just has a problem handling the ball. We never saw it before.
So the one crazy thing about, and John and I were talking about this before the show even started, is that with Jaylen Brown, as infuriating as it was, there was part of you that just knew at halftime he would make up for it with his offense. He would come back and go off because he'd been so cold, because he does that. And for a moment there, you did think that, maybe he's got the yips. Maybe he just can't stop turning this thing over.
I thought of watching the first quarter.
But then this team just has a way of being able to put that stuff aside and mentally completely change their composure if they're having an off quarter and come back. And that's what they were able to do yesterday. And that's why I didn't even feel that bad going into the half. I'm like, this is a game that they'll most likely come back and win.
What? I just real quick, when it was a one-point game in the third quarter, I looked at it the other way and thought, okay, Lowry and Strus haven't hit a shot yet, and Miami's only down one. This could very easily go the other way. So, I had no confidence that the Celtics were going to win that game until they blew it open.
So they've got Tatum is right now number one. Which, by the way, I agree, but not who I think was been the most valuable, but I think that obviously he's someone that would get the most votes.
So Jaylen Brown, Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo. So Al Horford's plus 6,000, and Robert Williams plus 15,000. Derek White 25,000.
Okay, so I think that Robert Williams, just by when he plays, it affects everything, has been the most valuable piece right now. It's when he's in, everything changes. And obviously, take a look. They're 3-0 in this series when Robert Williams is in the game. It changes the complete and total dynamic of everything. It takes away their second biggest star in Bam Adebayo. But Jason Tatum, obviously very prolific with the scoring. He's going to get the MVP. What are they saying about the odds right now for just game 6? What are we hearing about this game?
Oh, baby, it's big.
Yeah, Celtics opened last night either 8.5 or 9.
Oh, that's too big. Looking at the numbers that they've won by, it's insane.
You guys say it's too big, but there has not been a win less than that.
Yeah, less than 13.
I know. It's been 13, 20. What's the other one?
usually when it's a big number like that, usually it means that team covers. Yeah. Your exact thought, that's too big. That's usually exactly what books trap me into. Oh, that number's way too big. Yet no one's even gotten close to covering
that. I would say this
number,
in some sports, take the team despite the number, right? If you weren't going to bet a number, who do you like tomorrow?
I like the Celtics tomorrow.
Bet the Celtics and forget it. They're going to run away with
it. So are we ringing the bell on this one? Is this
I'll
a lock?
Ring the bell.
Would you take the points, Lifshatz?
No, they're the points.
Wow. This is a lock. Celtics plus 9.
I just think whoever you like, forget about the points.
What if you get the extender at referee?
Scott Foster. Get Scott Foster as a ref. Does that change it?
I get yes. How can it not?
Yeah.
So, he's the extender.
But sometimes a team can be so dominant that even having the extender doesn't matter.
Happened in the Nets
series.
Is
this that case? Right. Is this that case where the Celtics right now are just so much better, so much less banged up than the Heat are, that this is something that even it's Scott Foster proof.
Well, I posted last night. I was like, I'm worried we're going to get Scott Foster game six. Someone was like, well, he just ref game four. He's not going to get game six. And they made a good point that I didn't think about. If you're going to get someone, it's probably going to be Tony Brothers or Zach Zarba or both. And both of those guys have not exactly been pro Celtics refs. So that's the concern, I think. Maybe not even Foster, but maybe it's Zarba and maybe it's and Brothers.
So don't take the number until 9 o'clock tomorrow morning.
I'm personally, I have not touched anything.
Tomorrow morning is when you lay the bet.
I'm waiting until 9 a.m.
Yeah. All right, fair. I'd wait it out till 9 tomorrow. All right.
But what's the over under? Because just to piss off Rich,
200.
201.
On Tatum writhing in the. How many times will he writhe on the ground?
That will be 3.5.
Thank you.
We'll get 2 in the first half, and then he'll have 1.
Yeah, Grant Williams has about 7.5 on there, though. So.
Oh, we gotta read you. Okay, you just reminded me. Last night I was in the car and Adam Jones was reading this interview with Grant Williams that is hysterical that I got to read for you guys coming up. Grant Williams is slowly making himself really unlikable. And I don't mean to be the negative Nancy here. I mean, the Celtics are obviously going to win and it's fantastic that they're going to the NBA Finals. Grant Williams is doing himself no favor.
Well, there was one fantastic moment yesterday. So when the half started, I know a lot of people were taking a look at the court and saying, wow, Robert Williams not out here. This is strange. Why is Grant Williams, you know, starting the second half? Did Rob re-aggravate some sort of injury? And then afterwards, Grant Williams was asked what was going on.
Grant, you started the third quarter in place of Rob. Was that by design?
No. He was in the bathroom, I think. So I'm good to go. Throw me in there. And we started off the quarter right. So
he was taking a Robert Williams-sized dump.
That was great.
Grant Williams is the guy that if he's your roommate in college and a girl calls, he's like, hi, is Rich there? No, he's taking a dump.
Gas time.
He's got diarrhea.
That's just the best. No, he was cutting logs.
That's right. The team was like, he was back there for extra stretching. Robert, and Grant's like, Grant Williams, that wasn't it.
No, I believe he was defecating.
I heard he had
very smelly, violent diarrhea. If he wouldn't write that down.
Good for him. So whatever badge you're going to say about him.
Don't shake his hand because he was hustling.
That's right.
Oh, that's what changed the third quarter, huh?
He was late. He was in a hurry. I understand.
I didn't want to touch it. I mean, he's the guy who, when the girl calls, go, no,
it's taking a dump. And it might be a while because he's making a lot of noise in there.
That's just great. He couldn't finish by the time.
Well timed, Robert Williams.
Yeah, that's you're busting out the Sports Illustrated during that one.
Yeah, you had a whole half. I don't know what reading material was.
Do you
in
think
that.
He can even fit in the toilet?
I'm sure they have big thrones in that locker room for big boys.
Tell us, Joe.
Just the visiting locker room. All right. We have the Bankroll Boys in studio. We'll continue with them in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It really is just a reality check of just how no one cares.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Miami Heat, who jumped the Celtics in Game 3, who jumped them in Game 1 to start the series, will now head back to Boston with the Celtics holding a 3-2 lead. And the Boston Celtics, who were a game under 500 in January, are now one game from the NBA Finals. The final score in Game 5, Boston 93, Miami 80.
Grant, you started the third quarter in place of Rob. Was that by design?
No. He was in the bathroom, I think.
Gas time.
I've double muffed the mic. Let me know how this sounds.
Why?
I'm very conscious of my breathing into it. So I double muffed it.
The double muff will hide the breathing?
That's what the muff is for, right?
Well, I know, but you had the muff before and we could hear the breathing. I don't know if it's double muff.
No, I doubled it up with a fatter muff.
Okay. We'll now see how well you and your fat muff do this break.
Well, I mean, I've always had success with fat muffs.
Good for you. I'm very happy. I don't have anything else. My one joke ended there. You could go for
gas time.
You could go for days. I'm done.
If you're looking on Twitch, that's a Mark Gastineau rookie. That's a $4
nice
card.
All right, good.
Mm-hmm. That is a $4 card. All right. So, gentlemen, if you're just joining us, the Bankroll Boys, Dan Lifshitz, Joe Murray, they love the Celtics game six. -9.
Yeah, -9. That is crazy. I mean, but is it, though? The only reason I say it's crazy is that the losses have been so drastic in one way and blowout. I think we're finally starting to see a pattern, and we're finally starting to see that you can't avoid the injuries and you can't ignore them anymore. Now the teams are what they are. And I think that the series has become more predictable, and I'm sure from a betting standpoint, you guys both agree with that.
I do.
Yeah. So let's look at the futures now. After this win, what do the futures have? Because I'm starting to kick myself in the ass for not putting that money down on the Celtics. I think it was at the end of game, was it their first loss of the series that they were like
I think they were down 3-2 against Milwaukee, and we talked about how like unlikely it was that they were going to come back.
That's it. And the odds were something insane. Like
10-1.
Yeah.
And you wanted it.
And I said, man, that seems worth taking.
Let's take a wild leap of faith and think that it might be Celtics Golden State in the finals.
Yep.
Just looking ahead, because it's fun. What are you guys? How do you look at that series?
So Jeff Sherman of Superbook in Vegas basically tweeted out the prices early on in the series, kind of give people an idea where they would kind of stand. If Golden State and faces Boston, they have Golden State -120, which I think you're kind of seeing reflecting in the odds right now. I think Golden State's like -134, -135, -140 right now. Boston's +140. So, they're accounting for a small chance that, either the Celtics lose game six, et cetera. So, Golden State eventually probably -120.
Golden State should be the favorite, if you ask me.
Yeah, sure.
So they're,
it sounds like you're going to get a good finals. Like, at least Vegas thinks that.
Yeah. And
I just add the little bit of juice when he says 40. That's just giving Golden State a little respect. Not to mention, the Celtics are not going to have a lot of rest if they don't close it out tomorrow night.
Right.
Need that 4 days off.
Yeah, they're going to get three. Is it three? Because final game will be Sunday.
They finish it tomorrow. They will have the following Thursday. So it's six days off. They finish tomorrow.
June 2nd.
Yeah, so it's a worst-case scenario. If they win in Game 7, you'll have Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday to not do anything. Now, that does include a day flying out west and, going on out there, which, don't write that off. That does suck. But either way, it's more than they've had for this whole entire series, which is nice.
I want to back Dallas tonight, but they kind of blew their momentum. They won last game, but they let them come back like on a 28-6 fourth quarter. So
what does Vegas say about tonight's game?
They have Golden State -7, -300 on the money line. Look, I just think it's incredibly hard to win there. If you're an opposing team, it's incredibly hard to win. I think Memphis did do it last round, but I mean Dallas has not come close in their games in Golden State. I think it's over tonight.
Yeah, every Celtics fan should
not exactly a shocker either.
Yeah, everyone should be ready for
Thursday, no matter what.
It is.
Game one is Thursday, no matter what.
Yeah, June 2nd.
Yeah.
So you want Dallas to win to tire out Golden State?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Because think of it this way. If the Mavs win tonight and the Celtics win tomorrow, then the Celtics will have more rest than the Mavericks will, or than the Golden State will.
I'm not sure how that would work. What is the betting with that? Is more rest, does that usually equal better performance?
I think it would matter if the Warriors were more banged up, for instance. Like, if the Warriors were kind of in the Celtics situation, we might see, this is going to be really important for Golden State to win tonight because getting rest will be important for them, much like it is for the Celtics. Mm-hmm. But if Golden State loses tonight and they win in Dallas, honestly, I don't think it's going to mean too much to any, not the line, not there's not going to be a lot of factors that you're going to really say, they played one extra day. They're also significantly healthier than anyone is right now in the East. So.
Yeah, the bottom line is the Celtics just need more rest. I mean, yeah. If they can finish in game six, it would be massive for them.
I will say this, though. You win this game, and let's just hypothetically say they lost in the final. I think this is a successful season.
Yeah, it's already been a successful season. And the season's been successful already.
I think they got to get over this hump here.
Well, sure. Then they've officially gone next level.
But
right.
I think between the two teams here, and we did this on Saturday, if you want to go back and listen to it, they lost to Dallas on the final shot in two games, mm-hmm. and they've had a lot of success against Golden State at Golden State. So these two, Dallas is the worst matchup for them, personally. They've lost every game. They match up well against Golden State. My problem is I think Golden State's too deep. I think they go eight, nine.
The last time they played Golden State, Curry got hurt in the first half. Wiggins didn't play. I mean, they were short-handed, and Klay Thompson was just coming back from his injury.
And Kerr called out Smart for going at Curry's foot.
Kerr's a baby.
Going after a loose ball.
Yeah, he was a baby for that.
But that's what the league needs. And just to look at it, too, like they have their three stars, and Celtics kind of have their three stars with Smart or Williams or whoever you want to put in the equation.
The ratings are going to be through the roof if it's Celtics Warriors. Warriors,
East Coast, West Coast.
But it doesn't have the alert.
And it's teams that have drafted well. That look, here they are. It's a different. And I know the Golden State, you got to beat these guys. Like Steph Curry's a Hall of Fame talent. I think it's going to be hard to beat him. But can they do it? I will bet on them in games. I think they do have a good match.
It's going to be a very good series. That's not going to be a sweep or five. I don't think it's going to be a sweep or five-game series. That's going to be a competitive series, even when the Celtics played them tough and competitive a couple years ago when that entire team was healthy and they had Durant. Yeah, I mean, the Celtics have always played Golden State tough. They've kind of modeled themselves a little bit after that team, except they're probably better defensively and they're bigger. That's going to be a huge problem for Golden State matching up against the likes of Al Horford, Grant Williams, and Robert Williams. That's a problem.
I just know Golden State's not going to shoot 15% from three.
Yeah,
that's 100%. What I know. That's 100%.
There's going to be a lot of points. Yeah. This is where the defense that they've played can truly take over. I just think they have two better defenders.
Over under on the amount of dumps that Robert Williams takes mid-game.
Hmm. Oof. I don't know. I mean, Draymond's going to be throwing elbows and talking smack.
Smart and Draymond are going to be...
That's going to be fun.
Yeah.
That's going to be...
Draymond gets kicked out of a game. Maybe he gets kicked out of game one for kicks.
Just to start it off like that?
Yeah, he's done it before.
How many texts does he have? Like, is he at the point where he could possibly miss a game? I haven't been keeping track of his texts, but it always seems around this time in the playoffs that he is... dancing or playing with fire.
He will set a tone. There's no question about it. If he feels the need, he will set a physical tone.
Well, but you know what? Listen, as much as I feel good about the Celtics, I am not getting too excited yet.
Yep.
You know, there's been I famously against what was it, LeBron James, several years ago that you thought you had it, and then of course, bang bang, he did what he did. But this team does not have a LeBron James.
This is
Miami
what
Heat.
The Celtics wanted. This is why they took the Nets. This is why they faced the Bucks, and this is why they have the Heat, and here they are at home with a chance to close it out to go to the NBA. This is everything they wanted. That's why they set it up here. So I like them to win big on Friday night.
There you go. From the Bankroll Boys' mouth to God's ears.
So you're saying... Take the 9 points.
I'm not even looking at a spread. Because
Dan said
I think
it too. Dan's taking
the
line too.
I love it.
Dan's taking the line.
There's going to be a lot of buyback on Miami. People are going to look at the line and say the first thing they're going to think is, wow, that's a big number. I don't want to take that number. But again, not a single game has been decided by less than 13 in this series. So when you're really looking at it and the way that Jimmy Butler played last night, he looked like a completely different player than he was early in the series. That he's really injured, and he's not complaining about it at all, but he's definitely banged up. He's definitely hurt. And Adebayo got hurt last night, too. There were guys tweeting about it last night, too, that Adebayo got hurt. I mean, they're Hero's hurt. That whole team is banged up. So you're seeing it reflected with the number, and that's the reason why.
Yeah, as you were saying, all the wins over the Heat this series, 25 points, 20 points, 13 points.
And so, then same with Miami. You know, they've covered... 20, 21, whatever it was.
By the way, the Celtics did lead by 23 at one point last night.
Sure.
My suggestion for the Heat is in game six, if things are going off the rails, writhe on the ground in pain to let everyone know how banged up you are. Then you get an excuse.
if you lose. And the over-under on them writhing on the ground in pain on the ground, fellas?
I'm going to say 3.5.
Thank you.
Yeah, 3.5.
3.5 writhing around in the pains. All right, quickly, the Red Sox, are you buying into what's going on with them right now?
I am.
Joe is. Yeah, Joe, I am. Joe was big on the Red Sox before the year. I was not. Hey, if Trevor Story keeps playing the way he is, then fantastic.
I'm sure he'll carry this on the rest of the year.
That's what I was gonna say.
Historically speaking, he's not streaky at all.
Yeah, definitely not. No, I think they're a good team. I don't think they're nearly as good as they were last year. I think at some point the bullpen and the pitching will come apart as it, you know, as it probably does water finds its level. So no, I don't buy them, but it's fun that they're being competitive right now, and I hope that they're in it.
Just give me something to watch after the Celtics, please.
Fair enough. That's or at least until training camp starts.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, get me to the middle of July when everyone shows up in Foxborough.
They have a very easy stretch coming up of like the next like 10, 15, 20 games, whatever it is. They have like the easiest stretch in baseball. So if they don't take care of business in that time, then, I mean, they're out of it.
Yeah, it's going to be a whole scene at Fenway Park this weekend, as I am the only person in the world who's not going out of town. I will be there on Saturday night. The chances are, you're not going out of town?
Sunday, baby. I'll be there Sunday.
Yeah, we're the losers.
Hey, Fred, did you stay for the Franchi Granny? On Sunday?
I was not there on Sunday.
Oh, okay, I thought you were there Sunday. All right.
No, I was not there. I was at the Seattle series. I was there on Friday.
Yeah. Oh, Friday, okay.
John, you should go to Metallica with me instead.
What?
Really?
Yeah, you would enjoy that.
Is that this weekend?
Oh, yeah.
So you're going to be in town this weekend?
So I'm going to be out of town until Sunday. I'm coming back, and then I'm going to Metallica. And Weezer, I think, is right before them as
Where
well.
Where is this?
It's a Harvard.
Oh, no, okay.
Yeah, it's Boston Calling. Huh. You drove by it for years.
Next to the old building.
No, it's in Hollywood. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Over-under on James Hetfield crying during Metallica's set.
Well, he did it once recently.
1.5.
All right.
That's good, Joe.
Thank you for your love. Oh, yeah, yeah! He was playing Fade to Black and getting very upset.
Appreciate all the snugs from my band member. Oh, yeah, yeah!
He was playing Fade to Black about suicide, baby. That's what that song's about. Mm. Life, it seems to fade away. Classical guitar getting it every day.
Blow,
classical
blow,
guitar. Skin, ding, 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 ding. I don't care for the classical guitar. Do they play the classical guitar in live? Does Hammett put on the acoustic guitar and play like ding ding ding?
I don't think that. I think they just go clean tone on the electrics. I don't think they bust out the. I don't think I've ever seen them bust out an acoustic.
Because on the album, it's an acoustic guitar, correct?
Oh, yeah, like the beginning of Battery. That's acoustic. Yes. No question. Yeah.
And they go juxtaposition, classical guitar into heavy metal riff.
But they essentially invented that, so it's okay.
I will tell you, though, the one thing that drives me nuts is the lead singer who wears a guitar that doesn't play the guitar.
Oh, that's not James.
He plays. He's the lead. But that's like one thing that bothers me is like you go to a concert and like, you know, Scott Stapp has a guitar. Well, it's like, bro, why are you wearing the guitar?
Have you ever seen Eddie Vedder try to play?
He does it too. Exactly. Yes. He's another one.
Did you ever see the Mike Watt Band when Eddie Vedder was the guitar player for the Mike Watt Band?
No, I did not.
You guys be careful. Felger's going to get very angry.
When he gets angry, he calls in the U.S. Olympic swimming team and they take off their shirts.
Everyone has their shirts off, right?
Absolutely. Everyone loves it. All right, the Bankroll Boys, they got Celtics fever. Everyone's got Celtics fever. Joe Murray, Dan Livshatz, you can hear them every Saturday morning from 7 to 9, the Over Under 98.5 podcast, available wherever you hear podcasts. Gentlemen, thank you so much. Enjoy the long weekend. When we come back, we will have more fun. It is the Toucher and Rich Show. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's called the Toucher and Rich Show. But you can't forget Waller.
You explain it to me, John. Explain it.
Honey.
Did you call him honey?
I did. This is like the argument I had with my wife last night.
Pull it.
Now, more Toucher and Rich.
What you gonna do? Hey, now, friends. I have to hand it to the Newton Public Schools. They did something ingenious, which I really wish they did when, not when I was in high school, because I was, but being body conscious in college, when you get a hairy back in college and you go to school in Florida, there is a bit of trepidation because, you know what, girls, a lot of girls, you guys might find this hard to believe, don't like hairy backs. So what the Newton school system has done is the eighth graders are all, for graduation, get to go to a water park. But the rule is all the boys have to wear shirts. And I think that's ingenious because we have talked about this many, many times. But there is no camouflage for a fat kid like a shirt. No one would question why you're wearing it.
So they have to wear like the wetsuit top type thing.
A wetsuit, t-shirt, bolo tie. I don't know what you're talking about.
Swim shirt, yeah.
I don't know if it doesn't necessarily have to be a swim shirt. You have to cover up your torso. And I think it's ingenious. Because if you got a triple nip, or you're some fatso, you finally can cover up, and there's not the shame of why are you wearing a shirt, and then you got to make up some lie about it. Mm-hmm. You don't have to nair yourself right before the eighth grade trip where you get a bunch of ingrown hairs. Because nair seems like anything that smells like burning, that's a chemical that you apply to your skin, is a good way to go. But I thought it, my son told me, he's like, it's BS, we all have to wear shirts. And I'm like, oh, no, 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 no. That's ingenious. I'm like, you should. And he goes, like, all the girls have to wear like one pieces. And I'm like, well, if you're an eighth grader, like running around in a bikini.
Also, if you're going to a water park too, it's probably not the most advantageous type of.
Yeah, you're holding on for dear life. Yeah. But I'm like, I have no interest in what the girls are wearing. I said, this for boys, I can only speak of my own sex. This is ingenious.
Do you think some kid like came home?
Yes.
Like and see, I'm almost thinking a different side of it. I'm thinking that, you know, they were all told to put their sunblock on, and then one kid came out and was like a lobster, like where he couldn't even touch anything, and he's like, ah!
You're too comfortable in your body. No. This is fat kid, triple nip. Any weirdness you have going on in your torso gets undiscovered. Because if they find it, like your last day of eighth grade, this could follow you well into high school. It could follow you throughout your entire life. Like if you're the mole kid or you got like a weird birthmark, this is ingenious. All that you've covered up for all these years of school, for your 14 years on the planet, stays hidden. And I seriously want to applaud them. I would not have thought of that. Now if you're a kid, you get it out for everything. And I think it's great. Like, I think, because all the insecurities that you have, they let them sit, like, for a little bit longer until they're exposed, like, without question. Well, I think it's great. A lot of people are like, oh, pussy kids and like this. And when I was a kid, I think a lot of this is awesome.
Well, I think of the difference between, obviously, when we were kids and now. Because now, I mean, it's almost the normal that these kids have the sun shirts on or whatever they're called to cover themselves. Whereas we're all running around, like, as I said, like, you know, our skin's peeling off our bodies.
My kids own no sun shirts. They own none of them.
I think my kids have always worn them. I think that's Mary from the very beginning did that. And I think, like, all of his friends did that, too. So I see it all over the place. Either way, it's become commonplace. But it's almost like, you know, we used to ride around without helmets, you know, on our bikes. Every kid's got a helmet. You know, I think about we used to sit in the back. Boy, this is something I don't know if you ever saw, but sure as hell where I grew up, there was plenty of it. You would sit in the back of a pickup truck and then take that pickup truck on said highway and go 70 miles per hour.
Oh, yeah.
Which if you saw that right now, like, your heart would just stop. You'd be in such terror, such shock at what's happening in front of you. But growing up, that was just the norm.
Well, we had this is not as bad. I mean, obviously, I rode in the back of a pickup truck. Everyone has. Because they were not as omnipresent as they are now. But they, you know, if you were at the lake, there was someone with a pickup truck saying you want to go to the drive-in.
But my parents had a station wagon, and you know, we would drive to Florida, and I would just be in the back of the station wagon.
Oh yeah, that was like, me. The pinball. Down. Yeah, the pinball.
Yeah,
rolling around that sumbitch every time they hit a red light.
Yeah, we would drive to Florida, and I can only imagine taking my kids, and I would just lay in the back, no phone, no anything, just lay in the back by myself, only child. Just laying in the back. I would play games like how long I could stay in the sleeping bag, like completely covered in the sleeping bag.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Well, it was the whole thing.
So I was always the kid in the back. There were five of us. We had a station wagon. And once we got a baby, like you know, my little sister, you know, she had a car seat. She had to be in the back seat. So that took up a huge chunk of it. So it was me and usually one of my other siblings in the back. It was always me, though, no matter what. They had to, you know, like draw straws. And we used to play a game where we would see how long we could stare at the person who is in the car behind us until they, A, noticed us, and B, got so uncomfortable that they had to look the other way. And we would just try to make people uncomfortable behind us, just like stare right at them, like the children of the damned. And then sometimes you realize you were doing it just because you truly felt like one of the children of the damned, because you're abandoned in the back, having your shins bruised every time that, yeah, you know, the car, you know, stopped,
like,
right
and like anything. What a boring game. Like, what a, like, nonsense boring game.
You did everything to keep yourself some sort of entertained while sitting
right
there.
Right, that was like enveloping yourself in a sleeping bag and seeing how long you could stay in there. Mm-hmm. Because if you made noise, that you felt wrath from that. But I do, I have to say, these things that are in place, and my son would love to not have to not wear a shirt, so it's not even my son. But I have to applaud them because all these things that they're doing keeps the kids from, like, everyone knows what's going on, right? But it keeps it at least plausible deniability for a little bit longer. I think that these are all good measures.
Do you want to go to Mike on line two?
Sure. Is it, he got something to say about AR-15s to yell at us?
No.
Mike, go ahead.
Hey, Fred, I could not agree with you more. I'm 37 years old, and I'm still scarred to take off my shirt. I get nervous all the time. I mean, my thing was the skinfold test. You all had to take your shirt off down to your underwear, and they used to pinch your fat skin.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yes.
The most humiliating thing that was ever done to me. And then since then, I've been scarred.
Yes.
The calipers, the body fat test that was basically just how much can we pinch?
Right. That in the scoliosis test, that for some reason was I would be in a state of like near panic all day.
Yeah, scoliosis, the way they described it, was like instant death.
Yes, exactly. Like you're like deformed and like we got to check you. Like, why do you have to check me at school? Because there's parents that don't take their kids to the doctor. And if you have like of all the things to test for, like big deal, you have scoliosis. Like why that particular thing do they testing for?
Did your school do have like a lice day? Like
yes.
Lice day. Lice day was lice day. Yes. What a horrible day to be a school nurse.
But I understand the lice day because you don't want lice at school because lice jump around and get in all the kids' hair. Mm-hmm. The scoliosis thing is just such a random thing to test for.
I think everyone in my family was told they had scoliosis. And then I think everyone in my family didn't actually have scoliosis.
Well, they did that really extensive test of running their fingers down your spine. I don't know what possibly could have gone wrong. I mean, it was the great medical minds in the world were all the nurses giving, or nurses, all the whoever the hell is giving the scoliosis test. But they don't do that anymore. There's just all these things, and a lot of these things. And I played the Gary Goldman's The Great Depression for my mother because I was bragging like, hey, we know this guy, and because we're such good friends. And he has a thing about these like participation trophies, and he's like, you know, good for these kids. They're ignoring, you know, the best video games ever made so they can to sit outside for 2 hours and basically, like, you know, twiddle their thumbs. They deserve a participation trophy. And I am all for that. All these moves I am all for. These particular things, I don't think we're raising a bunch of sniveling pussies. No one needs to. You don't have to be the fat kid with the shirt on just yet. Save that. You don't need to be the triple dip kid just yet. These kids, they're still kids. Let them run wild and free until life inevitably shames them, until that inevitable shame comes.
I just love the fact that, I mean, the field trips I went on, the coolest one we ever did, we had one where we went to McDonald's and we got to go into the manager's office, and that was awesome. But other than that,
I think we did that too.
Yeah, for some reason, the McDonald's Corporation got like a grip on public school funding. They found some other way to get this weird income to where, hey, you know.
I'm almost positive we did that.
Yeah, and it was like the best. Ooh, the hidden room in the back of the McDonald's.
And they're all like strangely clean. Like the McDonald's, because my wife was involved in the corporation, and I always go back and like look around, and I'd be like, wow, this is kind of clean. But we went to D.C. in eighth grade, to Washington, D.C., and that was a lot of fun. I told you guys that these girls like followed our bus back to our hotel, and we were in the lobby with these girls, and then the teachers had to come down, and they were like laughing, and they were like, you got to get these girls out of here. Because they thought that we were much older.
Now, are they trying to think of some BS way to justify that they're going to? First of all, God bless the teachers that have to bring a bunch of eighth graders to a water park.
Oh, I imagine that's just like a drink sesh for them. I imagine that's just thermoses full of Ritas, and you're kind of kicking back. Like I imagine that's drinking on the bus day if you're a teacher.
Yeah, I guess
I would hope so.
I guess eighth grade's better than, you know, anything younger than that. That's,
yeah, in eighth grade, like, you don't have to, right. like they're not going to, like, drown, right? So, I mean, it's not your responsibility if they do. You just have to get them off the bus and on the bus and, you know, hope the dirt road kids don't get up and think, like, having sex or something. And so, no, they're going to a water park. It's good. It's good. It's a water park I don't have to go to, which I'm all for. All right. We are here. We will be joined by Mike Gorman at 8:20, lest you think we've forgotten about the Celtics. I just thought that I'm off at negative, and I wanted to applaud something going on in the world. We will be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.